Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This interview is sponsored by a new and standout destination in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by longtime healthcare professionals Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora blends advanced technology with personalized care to help you feel your best. Whether it's whole body cryotherapy to reduce inflammation, an infrared sauna to detox and relax, LED light therapy to recharge at the cellular level, or assisted stretching to improve mobility, Alora has something for everybody. Their mission to provide science-backed wellness in a calm, welcoming space. Whether you're recovering from a tough workout, managing stress, or just investing in your long-term health, Alora is your modern approach to feeling better mind, body, and soul. Stop by 821 C Highway 12 right across from Kroger or explore more at AloraModernWellness.com. Glad to welcome to the podcast for the first time ever, the legendary, that's a cool name, adjective to get to use about somebody, the legendary Dave Neal from ESPN. You got something to say about that? You're not going to argue with that, are you?
Well, I don't know. Legendary. How about long time? I probably feel more comfortable with that. But I can't believe it. First of all, I can't believe it's the first time I've been on your show. Man, I this is crazy to me.
Well, I mean, I saw that you were calling the game this week. I got to tell you a story, though, actually. So I work with Richard Cross, from ESPN. I texted him last week. I was like, who's calling State Tennessee? And he sends back Taylor Zarzer, Matt Stinchcomb, and I forget who their sideline person is. So I text Matt and I'm like, hey, I hear you're calling the game. Can you please come on the podcast? And he just texts back, hey, I'd love to, but I'm not calling the game. I'm doing Vanderbilt. And so I just sit back. I was like, this is what I get for trusting an Ole Miss person.
See, that's exactly right. Richard just let you down.
Let me down
again.
But he gave me your number. So I guess he made up for it in some way.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to go back to back weeks.
Well, this is what I want to start with before we get into this game. You've been on the call for a lot of big Mississippi State moments through the years. Off the top of my head, I remember the 99 game against Auburn, that crazy comeback out there. You had the 07 games with Alabama and Ole Miss, a couple of crazy comebacks there. You had the 09 Egg Bowl, which was a really fun one. And from a baseball perspective, you had Elijah McNamee's home run down at Florida State, which is one of the all-time moments in MSU baseball. Did I leave anything out? Is there a Mississippi State moment that stands out for you?
Yeah, let me tell you why. And go back to 1998. The first game that I ever broadcast for Jefferson Pilot Sports was a doubleheader. They did it twice during the year. They would split the audience in half. Well, half the audience would get one game, half the audience would get the other game. Well, I was working at Fox Sports South at the time, and they had a doubleheader split telecast. And so they said, hey, you want to do this game? And in 1998, it was Alabama at Mississippi State. And it was the first time Alabama or Mississippi State had beaten Alabama in a long time.
Yeah.
I can't remember. And, I'm drawing a blank. I wish I'd
J.J. Johnson.
Yes. Went crazy. I think he had like 200 yards rushing or something like that. And it was my first taste of like SEC football, and I grew up around it. You know what I mean? So, but to call a game like that and to have the upset, that was my first foray into Jefferson Pilot Sports. In the 1999, I took over the job. But that one, and I can't forget the big hit, Mac. You talk about the one in Tallahassee, when they beat Stanford.
Yeah, that's right. You were on the call for that too. Yeah.
In just an unbelievable, sick, crazy environment.
Yeah.
I mean, just nuts.
That was one of those where you did a good job of letting it breathe. Like, as soon as it was gone, and you were like, you let the crowd have that moment, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
It is. I have to work. I work with some relatively new announcers and stuff, analysts at times, and I have to, like, put my arms out and say, man, this is not about us. This isn't, I never feel that way, by the way. First of all, that's one of the things that I like. I don't want people to even know who's calling the game. I mean, seriously, I just want to give you the information that's pertinent to the game. Let my analyst break it down. I don't need to be the star of the game. I don't need to be that guy.
Yeah.
So in those moments, man, my arms are up telling everybody in the booth, stop.
You have another one too. You have one more moment that it's at Mississippi State, but it's not Mississippi State. It's Nico Cavadas' home run.
Oh my gosh.
Like this, I know your call. It's just, you just go, oh.
Because that ball is 500 feet. It was
still
power
going.
On power. It was Landon
Sims.
Throwing 100, and this guy took his biggest swing he could ever take, and bat met ball, and away it went.
That is one of the two longest home runs I've ever seen at Duty Noble to this day from an opposing player. So, All right, let's jump into this game. You got to see Mississippi State last week for the Northern Illinois game. Obviously, they're a much improved football team from where they were a season ago when they went 2-10. What stood out to you? Where are they most improved in your eyes?
Speed across, from the offensive side. I mean, we're talking about Brendan Thompson a lot going into that game about how fast he is, but watching Anthony Evans run his routes, I mean, he is really good. I thought Jordan Mosley finally showed a little bit. And the other thing that I felt like the offensive line has made significant improvements. While they are not flawless by any stretch of the imagination, they don't have to be great with fluff in the backfield, but they have to be good. And I think they've done enough there. And I think the run game, the addition of that, has really stood out to me. And I cannot not talk about the defensive side of the ball. I had Mississippi State two, three times last year. And if they didn't score 50, they weren't going to win. What a transformation. Obviously, it's the day we live in with college football. You can make those adjustments and quickly change your roster. But I just think they're playing fast, they're playing free. Things will change in the next 2 months. We'll find out how good they really are. But to me, watching them, it's not even the same look defensively that we saw a year ago. And that just the whole as a whole, that defense is just it gives you a chance now. You have a fighting chance.
You mentioned Thompson and Evans, and then on the other side of the ball with Tennessee, with Brazel, Matthews, and Staley, I feel like we're going to see a lot of big plays in this game, in the passing game. You've got a lot of speed and a lot of talent at that wide receiver position. Whose secondary do you like better in this matchup? Because somebody in that group is going to have to make a play.
Well, I will say this. Tennessee is not as good as they were hoping they would be. Now, they have certainly Jerome McCoy is one of the best coming into the season. People thought he was one of the elite NFL type dudes. Ricky Gibson's a guy that they lost. McCoy will be back at some point this week. Don't think that's the case, but they've gotten Colton Huda, a transfer from Colorado, who came in and has been. He has maybe saved that secondary, his ability to cover. They can leave him over there isolated on the best receiver on the other team. But they got Ty Redmond, a freshman, man. And you know this, that Jeff Lebby's going to go that route. Prove me wrong is what he's going to say. Tell me you can cover our stuff. I would watch the first quarter heavily if Mississippi State fan and see what they try to do with Ty Redmond. On the flip side of that, this is why I think Mississippi State probably has that advantage. And I'm not just talking about the corners, but with Kelly Jones and Diego Brumfield, throw in Isaac Smith on that back end. And I know he's not a big cover guy. He's one of those swing type dudes.
First career pick last week.
Right. Good for him. It was a nice pick. Good job for him. But I just think that right now in that back end, if you're talking about just corners, I got to lean toward Mississippi State right now. We'll see. I mean, obviously, there's going to be so many balls. I mean, there's going to be 100 passes thrown in this game, I think,
Probably, yeah.
close to it.
And that goes to what I've been kind of harping on the podcast and on radio this week is that I don't know if I'm putting too much pressure on him, but I feel like Blake Shapen is going to have to carry Mississippi State a little bit in this game. He's got to be better than Aguilar is for
He's got to be
Mississippi.
better than he was last week, too, Brian.
Yeah,
I
for
mean,
sure.
that was not his. That first half was, I like literally, I got the stat sheet and I'm watching the game and I look at it and I forget what it was, 56 yards passing or something like that. You can't win like that. Well, luckily they were playing a team that was pretty good defensively. I don't want to overstate. I mean, they're not SEC defense, but they're pretty good.
And that's the thing I took away from the game as the biggest positives, that State played a C-plus game at best and won by 28. A year ago, they played that game, and it's like when they played Toledo. They would have lost by two or three touchdowns.
Yeah, it's a different mindset, and it's a different team. And I think that those experiences for those that were around last year, and Blake Shapen had to, deal with some of that early in the season. He knows. Even when you're not having your best game, you still got to find a way to make a play or two. And they did in the second half to kind of give him some breathing room. And we got to see Kamario play a little bit, which is always fun. I mean, that dude, when he comes on the field, geez
We'll
Louise,
talk
man.
about him a lot more next year, I think.
Yes, I know. He came out there. Remember the first carry last week? They just ran, it was fourth down. They brought him in or something, and they just ran him off tackle, and he just blew up the dude that met him in the hole. I'm like, okay, here we go.
There's a lot of that's been a debate we've been having down here in Starkville of there's no need to redshirt him, basically. Just he can be your short yardage guy. You can use him the way, it's a big comparison, but you can use him the way Florida did Tebow his first year. Just let him run those quarterback powers, and eventually some pass will be open if you ever want to throw it, but that's a debate we were having here. Like, I don't think State's going to redshirt him at this point.
No, we talked to Coach Levy about it last week when we were there about what are the plans and how do you want to use him? And he was like, look, man, I know everybody thinks he's coming to the game. He's running the football. We've got stuff we work with him every week on in the pass game, off that stuff. And I wouldn't be surprised to see some of that stuff this week to where maybe he pulls it in the RPO game and actually tries to hit something downfield. He obviously can sling it.
Yeah.
And so if you just put him in those situations, why not give this a shot? Obviously Blake Shapen is the dude. And back to your original thought,
yeah,
I agree with you with Blake. Blake is a really good story. He's a great kid. He's easy to root for. But this is a game that he's going to have to make some. I mean, there's going to be times in this game where he's got to be the dude.
Yeah,
you want to be the dude? Go be the dude.
Yeah, and with Aguilar, I look back. You know, last year Clemson played App State, and I'm sure that was a tough environment to go into Death Valley. But it's not. It's not a conference game. It's not, you know, the Clemson fans weren't looking at that as if Florida State or Miami were there. This atmosphere is going to be interesting. If you watch the Arizona State game, they rattled Sam Leavitt here in Starkville. The cowbells, the crowd, it's going to be a sellout. It's Tennessee, who hasn't played a true road game this year. They played a neutral site game in front of it was a Tennessee crowd at that one. Is Tennessee ready for this environment that they're going to walk into?
Well, I know this, man, and every coach talks about it, that they do all they can to prepare and practice, turn up the volume. I remember Coach Hammock from Northern Illinois last week telling us that it got to the point that he just shut it down. He couldn't listen to the cowbell noise and speakers. He goes, I know we're trying to prepare, but I can't deal with this anymore. He even said that. So they all do it. They all try to do it. But honestly, until you get in this environment, I don't think that any of that stuff – can match what you get on game day. And you talk about speed of the game. Coach, talk about that too all the time, matching up with Tennessee or Mississippi State and how fast the game is. You can't duplicate that if you don't have it in your own offense. Mm-hmm. Both these teams work against these fast offenses all the time. It is a rarity that these teams will actually come in prepared and know what to expect from the opening kickoff in terms of how the game's going to go. So I think that the cowbells will be an issue early, but I think once the game gets flowing, I think Tennessee's been in enough environments. A lot of these kids, and you mentioned, you know, Joey Aguilar going to Clemson, and it's not the same, but he's been in these stages before.
Yeah.
And I will say this too, Ryan, as just a fan of college football, is there a better story right now than Joey Aguilar?
It's a good one. I mean, I think the Tennessee story is a good one because they kind of looked the transfer portal and NIL in the face and said, this is the line. We're not going to go past this line with Nico. And whatever happens, happens. And now they're right back winning games. And on the other side of that, Nico is in flux over at UCLA. I think Tennessee is an outstanding story. I think Mississippi State is a good story.
Yeah.
Because, you know, nobody – I don't think a lot of people had them 4-0. But I asked Levy about this at Media Days. And you can't – you know, Levy is one game at a time master. He doesn't – I don't think he sees a day ahead of time, never mind a week. And I said, but there's this scenario, Jeff, where, you know, you're 4-0 because you got four non-conference games. You could win those, and then you have this moment, and now we're here. So there's a lot of good storylines coming out of this weekend for me. You mentioned, you know, Levy and Heupel obviously work together. They have a great relationship. I would say that they're very friendly. Is there any kind of, in your experience, when coaches have worked together, does anybody ever have an advantage there? Is it, or does it just all cancel itself out?
I do. In this situation, I do think it's a cancel out situation. They know each other's stuff so well. You're not going to be really, you know, surprised by any of this stuff. I will say, though, that the transformation in defense, and this is where I think Coach Levy just really in the offseason hit home runs, going out and getting Paul Rhodes, Mike McIntyre. These guys are really good football minds, and so they can maybe see something in how to defend, how to prepare for things like this Tennessee offense that maybe some others won't. I just think having minds like that in a room is invaluable. Now, obviously, players got to go execute these plans and these sequences, if you will. But to me, that is a difference maker when you can go out. I look what Clark Lee did at Vanderbilt last year. Went out and got a couple of super, super just high-level coaches to come in and help transform kind of your ideology a little bit, if you will. You run what you want to run, but we're going to do this with it. We're going to help you out. Those guys, I think, under the radar, they're what are they called? Defensive analyst, senior
Analysts,
defense.
yes.
Right. I mean, I don't know what are we doing? I mean,
Yeah.
I get that, we still have a DC, but
Right.
it's a group effort. And to me, that's a big plus for Mississippi State this week, is that maybe there's something they can do to maybe slow this down a little bit more that they maybe didn't last year outside of personnel.
You've been in the game a long time. Do you remember a college football weekend like this where it's just so many big time games and a lot of them happening at the same time? I mean, I don't know how you're going to be, calling Mississippi State's game. I know you're going to have an eye on Ole Miss, LSU, and Texas A&M Auburn at the same time.
Well, I mean,
Well,
I'm just saying, if there's technologies available, I mean, I do. I have extra monitors in the booth,
yeah.
and one of them will probably be on one of those games just so I can keep an eye on it. And I'll have my iPad there, and I'll have a computer. I'll be, you got to pay attention. Everybody else is paying attention. And my focus will be on our game, obviously. But during commercial breaks, you want to get an update, see what's going on. Dari in the studio. We'll be spinning around. Listen, if you're at home this weekend at the 3:30 window, 3 o'clock window, I mean, you've got an SEC fan. I don't know that it's a better day at 3 o'clock
It's
than
incredible.
Saturday. I mean, seriously, it is nuts. Every time there's a commercial break, you can just hear the clickers turn into come to the next game.
Well, I've got the quad box. If I was at home, I'd be in good shape, but
I mean,
I'll be
yeah, we can't
listening
overlook the
too.
Oregon matchup this week. I mean, you know what I mean? It's not just about us. I mean, there's some monumental games this
Yeah.
weekend. And here's the other thing. I'm just glad I get to be a part of it.
There
I
you
mean,
go.
that's ultimately it is. I get to go to a place that's going to be packed, sold out, loud, crazy, SEC meaningful game. I mean, this is why I've been doing this for long, just for weekends like this. I mean, I'm truly thankful for it.
Well, we're thankful that you came on the podcast with us, Dave Neal. We always appreciate hearing from you. Looking forward to seeing you in the press box on Saturday at Davis Wade Stadium.
You got it. Hey, let's not make this just a one-time thing, all right?
You got it. You'll be back. We'll have
All
you
right.
on. Thank you.
Bye, buddy.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.